This is Cicely Tyson. Our story has its premise in reality rather than in imagination. The time, the present. The place, a Midwestern city.
What do you think of the name Arthur?
Stuart, please.
Come on, come on. Does it sound right?
Arthur, Harold, Clyde, Robert. At this point, they all sound alike. Listen, it's up to you and Karen, not me.
I thought you wanted to help us name the baby.
I did, but we've discussed names almost every day for the last 6 months. Now, can we get back to work?
All right, I guess it bores you. Give me that wrench. I'll change the filter on Mrs. Hager's car. No, no, that one.
Hey, don't get upset.
I'm not. But it's exciting. Our first child, our first boy.
Oh, you're that positive, huh?
You know it. I've always wanted a son. I tell you, Frankie, well, you've got three. You and Angela understand.
That's for sure. Suppose it's only discussion, so don't get angry.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not going to be a girl. Chairman's Garage. This is Stu. Oh, hiya, Dr. Carr. How was Karen's checkup? What do you mean there's a problem?
What's the matter?
I'm talking, Frank, huh? What happened? What? Huh? Well, how did that come up? Skip the medical jargon and give it to me straight. What do you mean a cardiac problem?
Is Karen all right?
Will you shut up? No, not you, Doc. Go ahead. I'll be right there.
Stuart, what's the matter?
They're taking Karen to the hospital. Dr. Carr's putting her in the coronary care unit. She's had a heart attack.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, A Life in the Balance by Ken Girard. Our stars, Joe Maross, Jeff Corey, and John Larch.
Stuart Sherman fought to control his emotions as he rushed to County General Hospital.
I'll take it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, I think the emergency room's down this way.
No, it isn't. Can't you see? Oh, never mind. There's Dr. Carr.
That was quick. We just took her into the...
Where's Karen?
In the coronary care unit.
What happened? You got her on oxygen?
No. Now, we
I want to see her right now. I'm not horsing around with you, Carr. I want to see my wife.
Take it easy, Stuart.
Easy? Are you kidding? Okay, Carr, what's the story? You sure it was a heart attack?
I want to explain something.
Like what? Karen is still... I mean, nothing's happened to her. Huh?
No, she's alive and the baby's fine.
All right. Talk.
Karen may have a serious heart condition. I don't know the extent of the problem as yet. That's why she's here.
You don't know? What the hell do you know? You've been treating her for months. Why didn't you find this out before she got into this state? Some medical man you are, she has a heart attack and you don't know it.
Karen did not have a heart attack.
Now you want to take a chance with my child. I might lose him too, is that it?
Would you listen to me?
You just better give it to me straight. Lay it on the line now. Come on, Carr. Is Karen dying? Is that what you want to tell me?
He didn't say that.
What did he say, Frank?
Damn it, Stuart. Would you stop? Let him talk.
Go ahead, Doctor.
I'm sorry, Doctor.
Stuart, Karen may have a heart murmur. We're putting her through some tests.
What? Then what are we doing here? Listen, Carr, if this is some sort of game...
Would you hold on? Let him explain.
I'd like that.
Not in the hall, please. We can use this office.
Okay, go.
Just a second. This is Dr. Carr. Would you tell Dr. Denning to meet me in C-104 after he's finished examining Mrs. Sherman? Thank you. Denning's a cardiologist. His findings will be more conclusive.
As to what?
If Karen has a mitral valve disease.
What the hell is that?
Simply put, a valve on the left side of her heart may be functioning improperly. If it is, and the blood flow is obstructed between the left atrium and the left ventricle.
If she had this all along, why did you miss it until now?
Because it was asymptomatic. It may be a silent mitral insufficiency. During Karen's first few months, I attributed her shortness of breath and the increased heart rate to the pregnancy. But at this stage, it was out of proportion with her condition. The seventh month is crucial to the baby's development and the mother.
So where does this lead us? You're going to have to hook her up to one of those machines for the next few months?
No. We may have to perform open heart surgery.
I don't believe this. I really don't.
Stuart, I'm not positive. We have to wait for the tests.
Why us? Why Karen? What did she ever do, huh? You tell me that? This is crazy. Wait until the garage is on its feet. We wait until there's enough money in the bank. We do everything by the book. Everything. And now we get clobbered. Open heart, sir.
There's a chance that...
No way. You know that, don't you? And I know it. In my gut, I know. Level with me. Is it Karen or the baby? Is that the choice?
It depends upon Dr. Denning's diagnosis.
Gentlemen?
Stuart, this is Dr. Denning.
Hi. My partner, Frank.
Hello, Frank. Well, your wife's resting comfortably. I'd like you to see her after we talk.
Is she upset?
Well, anxious is more like it. Under the circumstances, she's borne up quite well.
Well, that's good.
Has Max outlined the problem to you?
Yeah. He has.
Her electrocardiogram shows the right side of the heart being strained. And we've definitely detected a diastolic murmur. Now, until we do the catheterization, I won't be 100% sure that it's the mitral valve.
Catheterization? Isn't that risky?
No, it's a Swan-Ganz catheter. We can get a wedge pressure.
Oh, that's good. The x-rays from the angiography might be harmful to the baby.
Hold on. You're not shooting my kid full of radiation.
Stuart, we're not going to jeopardize either Karen or the baby.
Seems like you've done a good job of that already. Why didn't he spot her condition sooner?
Because it masked itself. Until the fetus put a strain on her heart.
Okay. Okay. What about this operation? What are Karen's chances?
To live? Very good.
And the babies?
The same.
You're sure?
I think so. But we won't know until we open her heart. Now, if we have to replace the valve with an artificial one, the risks increase. If we can increase the flow of blood by restoring the mobility of the valve without replacement, well, that's the best situation.
In either case, it's bad, huh?
Yes.
You told Karen?
Nope.
That's good. Because I want to discuss it with her first.
Stuart, I want you to understand the risks. If we have to put a valve in Karen's heart, she'll be on anticoagulants the rest of her life. And the heart may not accept the new valve.
You mean we might have to make a choice?
Yes.
It's never easy, is it? You know, we were just making it. Almost home free. Now this. Why, Frankie, why?
Hey, get it together. You gotta have strength for everybody. Karen and your son.
Yeah. What can I see her?
Now.
This way, Mr. Sherman. She's over here.
Hi.
I'm
sorry. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's not your fault.
I messed everything up.
That's not true.
It is. Oh, Stuart, I'm so scared. I'm really scared.
I'm here, babe. I'm going to take care of you. Dr. Denny's going to take care of you. Come on, Karen. Come on. It's going to be all right.
Look at me. I got tubes all over the place. Stuart, don't let me die. I love you.
Karen, please.
I'm so scared.
Karen, listen to me. Listen, you're not going to die. The baby's not going to die.
You promise?
I promise. They've got it all figured out. Isn't that right, Dr. Denny?
That's right.
Be honest with me. I know it's serious.
It is, Mrs. Sherman. Your heart's not functioning properly. At this stage of your pregnancy, it's imperative we correct the dysfunction.
You mean open-heart surgery?
Yes, Karen. There seems to be no other alternative at the present. But to allow your condition to proceed any further, well, it would jeopardize you and the baby.
How could this happen to me? I've never had any heart trouble. No one in the family has had a heart attack. I just can't understand it.
Did you have rheumatic fever as a child?
Never. I mean, I had a lot of things. I had chicken pox, I had mumps, but not that.
Strep throat.
Oh, I guess so. I had several bouts of the virus.
Karen, perhaps the strep throat masked a slight case of rheumatic fever, which in turn created this heart condition.
Oh, heart condition. Does this affect my baby?
No, it's not congenital.
But there's a risk in going the full 9 months, isn't there?
After the surgery, you'll need extensive care, a prolonged hospitalization with careful monitoring, and you could go to full term. But if there are complications, we recommend a cesarean section earlier.
It's not going to be easy, Karen. Bringing the baby in prematurely has its risks, too.
Is there any possibility of waiting on the heart surgery?
I'm sorry. I wish there was.
I see. Well, I guess you have to do your thing.
Come on, Princess.
I'm sorry, Stuart. I'm sorry.
Nothing to be sorry about.
When will you operate?
Tomorrow.
For most of us, it implies a new beginning. However, for Stuart Sherman, tomorrow is fraught with uncertainties. Tomorrow, his wife will undergo open-heart surgery.
Mr. Sherman.
Oh, sorry. I must have dozed off. Is it morning already?
Yes.
She's ready to go up?
In a few minutes.
Thank you.
We'll let you know as soon as it's over.
Mrs. Harmon, secure those leads from the heart-lung machine to the table a little more.
Yes, Doctor.
How's her pressure?
Steady.
Ready, Michael?
Ready, Max. Okay, Mrs. Harmon, put us on emergency power.
On emergency power.
Fine. Forceps. Swab. Thank you. Scalpel. Say a prayer, everybody. Here we go. Oh, there's a bleeder. Clamps. Come on. Let's open her chest. Looks good. Pressure?
Steady.
Retractors. Up a bit more, Max.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Another turn. All right.
Well, her lungs look healthy. Scissors. Let's get the pericardial membrane open. Suction. There she is, Max.
Mm-hmm.
Clamp. Suture. Stand by. I'm going to have to make an incision in the vein of cava. Scalpel. Okay, let's get the catheter from the heart-lung machine in there. Good, good. Tie it off. Okay, Max?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into the second vein. Looking good. Wipe. Okay, she's hooked up.
The anticoagulants are entering her system.
Let me check her catheters. We're in business. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Get the pump.
Full flow. She's stable.
Can I open the heart?
Yes.
Scalpel. Wipe. Scissors. Come on, Mrs. Harmon. Retractor. Aorta cross clamp. Time?
She's been on the pump 15 minutes.
All right. Let's see what you've got, young lady. Well, that's a surprise.
It doesn't look too bad, Michael.
Hold on, Max. Scalpel. There's our problem. Well, we're in luck today. Suction.
Looks like she won't need a new valve.
Not at all. The valve leaflets are still pliable. How about that? Get them unfused like so. Looking good, troops. Looking good. Time?
53 minutes. Full flow.
Time to close. Okay, let's get this gal off the machine. She's got a baby to deliver. In a couple of months, that is.
Stuart Sherman paced nervously while Karen was in the operating room. Minutes hung like hours. Each footstep outside the waiting room made him both hopeful and anxious.
Mr. Sherman.
Well, I mean, she's all right, isn't she?
Your wife's doing fine.
I told you, Frank, I told you.
See?
That's my gal. I knew it all along.
Oh, now, wait a minute. She's not out of the woods yet.
There's complications?
Everything's stabilized. However, Karen and your child have a long way to go. Fortunately, we didn't have to implant an artificial valve. But you see, she's at a critical stage of her pregnancy.
She has to be monitored very carefully for the next few... Well, if she goes to full term.
If... Is the baby in danger?
The strain of the operation on Karen's heart, plus the prenatal demands of the fetus. Now, Max is saying your wife has to stay in the hospital at least another month, perhaps longer.
I don't care. If that's what we have to do, well, we'll do it. Does that mean I can't see her?
Oh, not at all. In fact, unless Dr. Denning objects, we can take you into the recovery room now. She's over this way.
How's our gal, Mrs. Harmon?
Pressure's fine. Heart rate satisfactory.
She's white as a sheet. And those machines, I didn't imagine she'd have all those tubes.
Standard procedure. We have to monitor all her life systems. EKG, pressure, oxygen supply, her biochemistry. Don't be afraid. You can hold her hand.
Karen? Karen, you hear me? You made it. The baby made it. The doctor says everything's fine.
Code blue. Mr. Sherman, you'll have to leave.
What's happened?
Get him out of here, Mrs. Harmon.
What is
it? Would you leave, please?
Stewart, wait outside.
Her potassium level's dropping.
She's going into arrhythmia. Give me a reading.
Nearing ventricle standstill. Her heart's almost stopped.
Operating room. Karen Sherman has taken a turn for the worse. The cardiac team battles for her life as they face a new crisis.
The potassium level is near zero.
Syringe. What's her reading, Max?
20.
Oh, let's give a shot of potassium. And there.
The fibrillators are on standby.
No good. Can't risk it with the baby.
Her rate's holding.
Come on. Come on, Karen. Don't let go. Don't give up.
20. Still 20 beats.
The potassium level's rising.
Not out of the woods.
30. That's a bit better. Here she comes. 35.
Level 9.
Keep fighting, Karen. Max?
45. 50.
Potassium level normal.
Now let's give a listen to this baby. That sounds okay. Max?
Stabilized at 60. 60. 70. She's on track. Whoa. It's too close. Too close.
I want Mrs. Sherman scheduled for OR9. Well, let's get in as soon as possible.
Yes, doctor.
Same surgical team as this morning.
Yes, sir.
That was too close for comfort. You know what we have to do, don't you?
I'm afraid so. Let's talk to the husband.
Well, you handle it. I don't want to leave her.
I'll be in the staff lounge with him. Tell me when you're ready to scrub.
You think there'll be any problem getting a release from my husband?
No, but, well, Mrs. Harmon, when you're finished, meet me in the lounge. Bring a pacemaker with you.
Is she all right?
For now.
What the hell happened? She could have died, huh?
Yes. Her heart almost stopped completely.
I thought you told me the worst was over.
Stuart, let's sit down and talk about Karen's situation. There's something I want to explain to you.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's one struggle after another. How many more mountains does she have to climb?
I can't answer that.
That's for sure. I'm sorry, but I can't get it through my head. The heart murmur goes undetected. The surgery comes like a bolt of lightning. Her heart just about stops. And you want to operate again? A pacemaker. And then what?
She's fine as long as the body doesn't reject the pacemaker and she has regular examinations.
You call that fine? She's an invalid for life. Right now she's show jam full of tubes, got stitches all over with more to come, and you call that fine?
I call it life. Yes, she's in grave condition. Yes, she's not a pretty sight. Yes, there's more to be done. But she's alive, and the baby's alive.
For how long, doctor?
There's no guarantee.
Now you tell me.
Every time we operate, there's a risk.
Which becomes greater every time. She's barely out of one situation, and you want to put her into another.
The pacemaker will save her life.
Really? So would the first operation, and we all know what happened a few minutes ago.
Do you imagine I would recommend this if there were another method?
I own a garage. I'm not a doctor.
I need your permission. Now.
I'm not going to be rushed into this. Nor is Karen. Nor is the baby.
Oh, I'm sorry I was delayed. We had a problem in the intensive care unit.
I was just leaving. Perhaps you can reason with Mr. Sherman. It seems I've lost his confidence.
Did you see my wife?
Yes. Dr. Denning's with her. She's improving.
You mean she's not dead? Yet.
Oh, Mr. Sherman, don't lose faith. We're doing everything.
Yeah, I've heard that story before.
I'm sorry. It was thoughtless of me.
No. It's my fault. I know you're doing your best. So is Dr. Cards. It's just that the thought, even the remotest possibility that Karen...
I understand. It's not easy.
I shouldn't have yelled at you.
I've had worse.
There was no excuse for that.
Still friends?
Yeah, still friends. I couldn't take half of what you put up with.
Doesn't bother me. Most people have to take it out on someone. Why not the head nurse or the doctor? Even Mrs. Carr blew up at me once. I didn't like it, but I knew what she was going through.
Dr. Carr's wife? Why?
Fear. Anxiety. The doctor had open heart surgery.
The doctor?
Oh, yes, 2 years ago. A double bypass. And to top it all, he had a pacemaker implanted, too. One of these. Only not as small.
You're kidding.
I wish I were. He had cardiac arrest while on rounds. Dr. Denning performed the operation.
I thought a pacemaker was much larger and had tubes and wires coming out of the body. But But this is the size of a half dollar.
Now they are. And soon, even smaller. Pretty soon, it'll be the size of a transistor chip.
Why didn't he say something?
He did. Through me.
I really feel stupid. Come on, Mrs. Harmon. It's time to climb another mountain.
I want the pump on standby.
On standby, Doctor.
Emergency power.
Power on.
You have the pacemaker?
Right here.
Swab her neck. Good. We're just going to feed the electrodes down her jugular vein and position them in the right ventricle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this shouldn't take long. Reading?
130 over 80.
Now, here we go. Scalpel. Suction. Time?
17 minutes.
Feed it a little more, Max.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You've got it in position.
Yeah, let me clap this off.
Wipe. How's she doing, Mrs. Harmon?
Full flow. Pressure steady.
Now let's get this beauty under the skin and we're home. Looking good, troops. Looking good. Suture. Scissors. Let's close, Max. Seems our young ladies weathered another storm.
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of A Life in the Balance. Karen Sherman's recovery was monitored very carefully. She was moved from the intensive care unit to a private room. It appeared the worst was over, but she knew there was another test of strength, the birth of her child.
Good morning, Mrs. Harmon. You asked to see me?
Yes. We're experiencing some post-operative problems with Karen Sherman. She seems to be slightly depressed.
I noticed that, too. She refused to see her husband yesterday.
And she's worried that the pacemaker will fail.
Well, I better have Dr. Denning speak to her.
There's something else. She's afraid that she might lose her baby.
She mentioned that to you.
In a roundabout way.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to reassure her, but she changes the subject every time I mention it.
Call Mr. Sherman at his garage. Ask him to meet me in, let's say, an hour.
Very good. I'll be in the CCU if you need me.
Morning, Karen.
Morning.
Let's take your pulse.
Why don't you read the machine?
If you want.
I don't care. Reread my pulse. I'm just an extension of that little thing.
You must be getting better. You're angry with me.
I'm not. Machines don't have emotions.
Karen, don't.
Why not? I'm not a woman anymore. I'm tubes and clamps. And the best of all is this. Look at the length of this incision. And the one here in my shoulder. I'm a human freak. Karen the Zipper. I'm ugly. I'm really ugly.
Anything else you want to get out of your system? How many things do you want to carry around? You burn the roast? Left the wash go too long? I'll listen.
Can't you be serious?
I am. Because we're talking around the problem. This has happened so fast you haven't had time to get depressed. But the past 2 weeks have produced a normal anxiety. And what you really want to know is, will I die? Will the baby die?
Yes. I want the truth.
Now you're talking like the same gal that I drove here who knew the risks and was willing to face them. I didn't pull any punches then, did I?
I guess not. It just seems so complicated. Almost impossible. Sometimes I lie here and I think terrible thoughts. I don't like that part of myself.
Karen, don't blame yourself. You, Stuart, and your baby have come through this beautifully. Dr. Denning and I will be with you the rest of the way.
Meaning what? You'll attach me to another machine?
Your pressure's been a little high. The demands of the fetus might, I stress, might be too severe on your heart at this stage.
I won't go to full term.
If there's any question of your safety, we'll have to perform a cesarean section.
Well, that couldn't be plainer. The baby?
Fortunately, you're halfway into the seventh month. The next 2 weeks will be critical. If we have to do a C-section, I'd like to have you stronger and the baby bigger.
Another operation? Another scar? Have you told Stuart?
Yes.
And what does he say?
He loves you.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, Stuart, I'm so sorry.
All right, take it easy. Come on, just lie back. Everything's under control.
I never felt like that in my life. I can't explain it. I didn't want you to see me like this. There were so many things going through my mind.
Don't you think I had some moments, too? The thought of losing you, well, it was frightening. Well, that's all in the past.
Is it?
Of course. They didn't have to replace your mitral valve. The pacemaker is in there perfectly. Karen, from now on, it's a piece of cake.
I hope so. I hope the baby... Well, I just hope he's healthy.
He will. Don't worry.
But so many things have gone wrong already. Stuart, if there's a decision that...
There won't be.
But if there
no
is...
No buts.
Just let me say what
no.
I want to say.
No. You've passed through every crisis and you'll come through this one, too. Believe me.
I do, Stuart. I do.
That's my gal. But there is something.
What?
In about a week, your incision is going to... itch.
Oh, you! Sometimes you can be so childish. Ooh, ooh, scratch. No, no, a little to the left. Ooh! Ah, I can't stand it.
How's that?
That's better. Wait a minute, I want to lie back. The baby's pressing against my chest.
No, finish eating first.
I don't want any more. I have to rest.
Just finish the cantaloupe.
No, I'm full.
Then how about the banana?
Will you stop shoving food in front of me?
Dr. Carr said.
Why all this cantaloupe?
It's filled with potassium.
Oh, please. Did he, mention anything about going home?
We discussed it, and I felt you should stay here.
You? Why are you making medical decisions?
Well, you should, see the house.
Lean forward. That's the girl. I take a deep breath. Let it out. Lungs are clear.
Ooh, that was a big one. I never thought my baby could be this active. Let me turn on my side.
In a second. I want to listen to his heart.
I feel like a whale.
Shh. Oh, good. Right, now I'll listen to a complaining mother-to-be.
Let me turn. That's better. I want to go home.
Let me decide that.
Please, I've been here over 3 weeks.
Fine, you're just getting to know your way around the hospital.
Dr. Carr, I'm serious. If there's any problem, I'll
If there's any problem, Dr. Denning and I want you right here. Karen, you're not out of the woods yet.
Then the cesarean is probable.
We'll have to make that judgment next week.
May I have Mrs. Sherman's printout, please?
EKG, today's charts are on the top. Blood count. Her files through this morning.
I wish we had an angiogram. Seems her pressure's up again. It's a tough one, Max. What do you think?
She's been through a lot. I'd hate to recommend a cesarean.
I know. It's too much of a risk to have her go to full term. It could put too much stress on her heart. That's a chance I don't think she should take.
I agree. Karen will start her ninth month, next Tuesday. Why don't we schedule surgery on the following Wednesday? Pressure?
Steady. 137 over 90.
Fine. Heart-lung machine on standby?
Yes, Doctor.
Well, let's begin. Swab.
Swab.
Scalpel. Suction. Thank you. Hold that retractor for me, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more to the left. Good.
Vital signs good. Pressure steady.
Let's get through the peritoneal membrane. Scalpel. Sponge. Hold those tissues back a little more. And that's it, Doctor.
Retractors. Now, here's the uterus. All right, Karen. In another moment, we'll see your baby. Scalpel. Wipe. Forceps. There's the head. And I'm going to take him out now. Ah, there we go. Come on, Harmon, suction that mucus out of his. Well, how about that? Her throat.
Now, that's what I call a beautiful girl.
Did you ever see such blue eyes?
Oh, yes, she's got beautiful eyes.
And that nose, a little pug nose.
Stuart, please. She's not that exceptional. She's very nice looking.
She is a beauty.
There's no talking to him.
No, you've got it backwards. There's no stopping him from talking. I tell you, Karen, he's driving me batty.
Names.
That's all he's got in his mind.
I thought you wanted to help us name the baby.
The next one. Oh, I'm sorry.
There will be a next one.
Well, I didn't want to say anything. I mean, the operation might have done something.
Now you've done it.
Oh, I apologize. But Karen said...
Oh, you can talk about our next child, but you mentioned the operation.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's perfectly all right. I'd love to talk about my surgery.
Dr. Carr warned me. It's called post-operative euphoria.
What?
You'll see. I'm going upstairs to look at the baby again. Frank, why don't you stay with Karen for a while?
Sure.
Do you know what mitral valve disease is?
Not really.
Well, that's what I had, and it was caused by an undetected case of rheumatic fever. And the last trimester of my pregnancy brought out the symptoms of my coronary problem. Frank, do you know what they do in the OR?
Not really.
It's fantastic.
Listen, Karen, I think I'd better go. The garage needs tending, and we have a lot of work backed up.
We'll just sit here for a moment. Don't you want to hear about my operation? Actually, there were two. No, maybe three, if you count the pacemaker implant and the cesarean section.
Cicely Tyson again. Tonight's story was a dramatic presentation, but the events have been taken from actual medical histories. The producers of Mutual Radio Theater wish to thank the Greater Los Angeles affiliate of the American Heart Association for their assistance in the preparation of this program.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, A Life in the Balance, was written by Ken Girard and produced and directed by Livia Granito. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Joe Maross, Jeff Corey, and John Larch. Featured in the cast were Patricia Joyce, Frank Campanella, and Monty Margetz. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Serta Perfect Sleeper Mattresses and Foundations, with a top comfort and deep support for firmness that feels good. And that's a healthy investment in yourself. And by Amana. Every part of every product we make is backed by a century-old tradition of fine craftsmanship.
This is Leonard Nimoy. At this same time tomorrow, you'll be hearing another original radio play earmarked for adventure.